Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Already hit a two-run home run with an error in the mix.
And he drives one high and deep to right field. If it stays there, it's a slam. Gone! Grand slam!
What more could you ask for in this ballgame? Because you just might get it.
One of many, many home runs last night. A dominant performance by the Astros as they win 13-4 against the Boston Red Sox. That even series is even. 5 home runs in the second inning. It was pretty unbelievable. It was a fun game to watch. And it was one of those to where if you missed one of the innings, you missed the majority of the action, and that was the second inning.
Wouldn't you be pissed off if you're Nathan Eovaldi, a guy who in Red Sox history is actually like one of their more respectable players.
Yeah.
Remember what he did to the Astros back in, what was it, the 2018 ALCS? Like, he was awesome in that series. And they just left him out there to die. Like, take the guy out after 3 home runs. You're going to leave him in for 5?
He's also from here, which probably doesn't help. He's from Alvin.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah. I remember that during the ALCS, everyone was like, yeah, local product.
Hometown
like,
kid.
Shut up. I don't want to hear that.
It's the local news angle. The hometown kid comes home.
The hometown kid came back to his hometown and stuffed it in a locker.
Jose Urquidy was not very impressive. He had a rough night, but I was pleasantly surprised. Seth Martinez looked really good. 3 innings kind of helped reset the bullpen. Good stuff from him.
Also the offense, too. Thank you. You can just leave everybody out there. You don't have to pitch your big arms in key situations, which after the first game of the series with the rain delay and everything, you thought, okay, well, just might put yourself in a tough spot. But, yeah, instead, the offense, I mean, it just really took over. And it's Jeremy Pena, who's continuing to hit really well. Jordan Alvarez, for a moment, I think, was tied for the American League lead in home runs. You got 2 from Kyle Tucker, who, remember, we had a caller who was like, yeah, Kyle Tucker, I just don't know if he swings at the bat in the right way.
That was a hot take.
Yeah.
That was a hot take.
Yeah.
Definitely was a hot take. Jeremy Pena hitting a home run in front of his family. He grew up in Rhode Island. This is cute. He grew up in Rhode Island, so his parents were in the stands. Everybody had matching shirts.
Good for his family not having Rhode Island accents because...
Yeah, they don't, do they?
If you think Boston accents are weird, I can't even describe to you a Rhode Island accent. Rhode Island is just very, very intense. I was trying to describe it to someone the other day, and it's like someone is making fun of the Boston accent and just going complete caricature with it. It's something else.
Kyle Tucker lighting it up, of course, like we said before. So this was just a really fun game all around. I thought the Astros looked like a complete team. Again, Urquidy not really getting it done completely, but Seth Martinez cleaning up and just, this is a fun team to watch. Pitching, though, we do have questions with Lance McCullers Jr. Jake Odorizzi, of course, is still injured, and we do not have an update on that. We expect to learn more maybe about that MRI, hopefully, today. As of now, they're still saying it's discomfort, right?
Yeah.
Discomfort. He does have a crutch, which we saw last night in the dugout.
I love that.
And he was smiling. He looked like he was in good spirits. But the health of their pitching staff, definitely a concern. Lance McCullers Jr., in particular, because we don't have a timetable on when he will return.
No, we do not. And you got to be very careful, I think, with him when he comes back because you want him around for the postseason. But the biggest problem with McCullers has always been that the more innings he pitches, the more likely it seems that he will end up dealing with some sort of nagging injury. And it was interesting listening to the Killer Bees yesterday, Vanessa, when I was driving out of the station, I heard something. And I...
Keith Law, right?
It was Keith Law, yeah. Right, from ESPN, who joined them. And I stopped in my tracks when I heard this.
I would also point out that, you know, at some point, we think the Astros are going to get Lance McCullers back. And I have been arguing for basically since he was in high school, he's a reliever. He has no history of staying healthy as a starter, constantly getting hurt every time they try to start him. And I understand why. He's had flashes of extreme effectiveness as a starter. I would absolutely bring him back, use him in the bullpen, because I think it's the best way to make use of his talents, and he is very talented, and also fill a more critical need, I think, for the Astros.
I'm going to bring up a extremely talented pitcher who, for the first few years of his career, was a starter. In fact, you know, pretty close to the first half of his career. He was incredible. Do you remember Kerry Wood?
Sounds familiar.
Kerry Wood pitched for the Chicago Cubs, but he dealt with, over the course of his career, a series of nagging injuries. And all of a sudden, and I want to say this was in 2007, 2008, they decided to move him into the bullpen. And look, I think if you take a look at Wood's numbers in totalities, they don't blow you away, but he always had fantastic stuff and was always talked about as one of the most talented pitchers in baseball. When he was 31 years old, they moved him into the bullpen and he was an all-star. So I feel like this is something that has worked in the past. If you got a guy who is consistently injured, why not try it out? So Kerry Wood's the example that I think of as far as how this can be a
success
story.
Can you imagine if they would do this, though? Do you think Astros fans would be outraged? Do you think Astros fans, and we, of course, as always, want to hear what you guys have to say, 713-780-ESPN, Lance McCullers Jr. moving into the role of a reliever.
Well, here's what would be tricky about it. I think a lot of people would have a tough time moving past Lance McCullers' contract, because Lance McCullers is set to make a ton of money over the coming years. And do you want to be paying a reliever when it seems like it's very difficult to predict a reliever's success year to year? Do you want a guy who is making $21 million a year in the bullpen?
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, I think some people would say no to that. They're like, no, you're paying him to be a starter. He should be a starter. The contract that he is under, it's 5 years, $81 million, the extension that he signed. So, okay, it's not $21 million per se, but we're talking, what, like close to $17.5 million a year or so? Do you want that every single year coming out of the bullpen? Are you fine with paying that much money for a reliever?
I think it would almost be a mental thing, too, because he was the ace when Verlander was out, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think it would be a mental thing for Astros fans, too, of not only how much they're paying him, but the pecking order of, okay, this wasn't just a guy, this was the guy.
I also, and to your point on that one, Vanessa, I wonder if he would be open to being a reliever, because sometimes guys don't like being moved from one role to another.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that he is too proud to. I really couldn't speak to him. But it would be a bit of an ego check to say, hey, look, like, we think you're really talented, but we want you to pitch as a reliever because we feel like it'll be better for your health. It might prolong his career. And I would imagine if you're Lance McCullers, you're probably getting pretty pissed off at the fact that you can't seem to catch a break when it comes to health. So I loved hearing this yesterday, and it got the wheels spinning. I guess the real key is, if you're Dusty Baker, how do you present this to Lance McCullers? Say this is an idea. If you're James Click, same way. Because, you know, if you're Click, you're presenting it to him. He's probably going to think to himself, like, that, are you really thinking about me? Or are you thinking about the long-term interests of the team? Dusty's going to have to sell him on it. Say this were a possibility. And this is something that Law floated. This isn't like a rumor or something that.
Yeah, it's not a report, but it is an interesting theory. I like that you said Lance McCullers Jr. isn't too proud to be a reliever, because I agree with that. I think that he's a team-first guy. I think he would do whatever it takes. I mean, he's the one that said, bury me in the H, and Apollo made shirts, the T-shirt company. So I think that I don't think that he's too proud for it at all, but I do think that it would be something. You're talking about Jim Crane, who has to sign off on that final decision, James Click and Dusty Baker. and Lance McCullers Jr., all four of them all having to agree on it. But it is an interesting theory, and I'm glad that Keith Law brought it up, because when you look at the maneuvering and the switching of who's going to be in what position, if Jake Odorizzi is hurt for longer than what's on the 15-day IL, what happens with that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I would just tell the Astros in their situation to not be so stubborn because of what you're paying somebody, to not just consider the alternatives. Because sometimes we all make investments that are poor. I got to say, like the Lance McCullers contract, when it was given out, I was like, wow. I mean, he's been hurt a lot. I like Lance a lot as a person. And I hope that he's not going to have the bad luck going forward. But I just remembered seeing it. I was like, okay, of all the guys that you're keeping around, it's Lance? I suppose that if you take a look at it, it is, you know, less than what you would be giving out to like the aces that hit the open market. But that amount of years for a guy who's dealing with all this, what are you doing? So I guess don't be so stubborn, Astros, looking at that contract, thinking to yourself, he has to be a starter because we paid him to be a starter. Sometimes investments that you paid for, you can find other uses for them.
Former Astros shortstop Carlos Correa has been reinstated from the injured list. That is as of today, just a few minutes ago, actually, before their game at Oakland. He sent, of course, Royce Lewis back to AAA St. Paul. This is according to the Associated Press. Correa, another former Astros player now, of course, who dealt with some injuries. He missed 11 games this season already with that bruised middle right finger. So, of course, we'll be keeping track of Los and everything that he does with the Minnesota Twins. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Galan, we talk about a current NBA star who is lighting it up on one of the networks. That's next. You don't want to miss it.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Listening to Vanessa and Galant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Galant.
All right, we're rolling along on a Wednesday. Had you not told me, Paul, that the NHL playoffs were going on, I genuinely don't think I would have known.
I mean, I'm a Tampa Bay Lightning fan, and I barely know.
Are they in it?
Yeah.
Damn.
They won last night against the Florida Panthers. So I'm like, wait, they're good now?
I do have a friend who's from Florida who likes the Florida Panthers, so I should have known. Just not a hockey girl.
I mean, you think there's few Tampa Bay Lightning fans. They're good. And Paul Gallant, habitual bandwagon jumper.
Yes.
Of course he liked the Tampa Bay Lightning when he moved there and they won the Stanley Cup his first year living there.
Which hockey team should I be a fan of?
Oh, the Tampa Bay Lightning.
It's like a retirement community.
Whoa,
what a fun team.
Whoa.
Tampa's whoa. Like, meh.
You may as well call St. Petersburg Heaven's Waiting Room, which it was once nicknamed. But now it is trendy and young. And Tampa, too. Trendy.
I mean,
young.
The weather's nice.
Come see our beaches.
Sean, do you like Tampa?
I have no reason to feel any way about Tampa.
What about NHL? Do you like the NHL?
I've never watched a hockey game, like, from start to
You're
finish.
You're from here, right?
Yes.
Texas? Houston?
Actually, I have watched a Houston Arrows. I've been to a Houston Arrows game, RIP.
Fun to go in person.
Yes.
Hockey is cool in person.
Too many sports to follow. If there's not a team that is playing in the city you live in, I find there to be no point in just trying to keep up with it. There was going to be a team in Seattle right before I ended up getting canned up there. I debated getting into it, but my take was going to be all year long. It'll be fun to watch in person, and the team will suck. That was all I was going to ever say about hockey on the air.
People really want, there are some people that really want Tillman Fertitta to bring a hockey team here.
I mean, they would have to win.
Yeah.
Otherwise, no one's going to care. And also, this the idea of a team sharing an arena these days, like that is a hard sell for a lot of these owners. They want to make all the revenue from that arena. They want their own arena.
I'm not sure. You said if they win, people will care. I'm not sure even if they win that I'll care. I think hockey, I've 26 years of not watching hockey. I don't think I'm going to pick it up.
Right. I'm one to talk because I like racing. Moving on to the actual subject we're supposed to talk about, but my ADHD mind saw about the NHL playoffs.
Poor hockey talk.
On
this
Twitter.
Has been hockey talk with Vanessa Gallant.
Probably the most anyone's talked about hockey on the station.
It's agree.
We could just try to pronounce names. Igor Oselsenskyville.
Hashtag hockey matters.
And Stroznatsk Sklomfokhanas name.
We're going to start a show called Hockey
Great
Matters.
Great forward for the Detroit. Wings of Red.
Watch Soccer Myers, Soccer Matters every night on ESPN.
It's only on Tuesdays.
Only on Tuesdays is what
listen
I mean.
To the podcast every night.
Come on.
97.5.
Don't hate on Glenn like that. Glenn,
oh, man. I love Glenn.
Yeah.
Yeah, Glenn's awesome. And I do like the Dynamo and Dash, by the way. They're great franchises. They're fun games. Again, fun in person. Soccer mm-hmm. matters. Hockey matters. The NBA also matters. Patrick Beverley has been on ESPN a lot. What was initially seems to be supposed to be like a one-day stay.
No, he's on retainer now.
Has turned into three. He's got the freshest outfits. He's got the best attitude. He has the DGAF, I believe it is, attitude, as the kids say.
He is just operating.
Chilling, minding his business.
The hateful energy of somebody who has acquired a microphone and is not going to let anyone else have it.
For as much as he hates on Chris Paul.
Oh my God, he hates him so much.
He loves on James Harden even more. Here is Patrick Beverley on James Harden's preparation that he does before games.
It's nothing new, right? I challenge James Harden to make sure his mental preparation is correct, to make sure his body is correct, to make sure that he takes a summer to take care of his body. And he will do that because he hates being embarrassed. Trust me. I know this. That's literally my twin. I know him better than anybody.
It's literally my twin.
He's going to take this summer. He's going to take his body serious. He has to. You got all these people up here talking about him. All right.
I'm insulted that James Harden, that Patrick Beverley compared himself to James Harden.
He also, can we learn the term literally? Because he said he's lit. Look, this is a small thing, but he said he's literally my twin, but he's not.
You're literally right.
I know. Like, in that case, literally is correct. Does anybody else understand what I mean?
I understand. It's like hockey. I can't care about it.
Do you understand it literally?
I feel like I'd spend literally my entire life correcting people on that. So I lay down my sword on that.
Did anybody watch Parks and Rec, Rob Lowe?
Yes.
Literally?
Literally?
I literally stopped watching when they went to Washington, D.C.
Great show.
I can't believe that Beverly is sticking up for Harden legitimately the same week that he is just lighting Chris Paul's name on fire. And then he says, yeah. Also inserts himself into the conversation. Yeah, you know, I've always been on Harden to get to, with the workout. Like, well, it's not working, first off. Second, why would you, someone who has been known to have the best effort and motor amongst many NBA players, why would you sully your name by comparing yourself to a guy who literally does not care? James Harden doesn't like being embarrassed. He's really shown it because he has been in such great shape the second round of the playoffs after he has been embarrassed the year before.
It's also just the post-game pressers after he gets embarrassed, to which he'll sit back and look at the media and say, yeah, it just didn't go the way that we wanted it to go. I would argue that he is fine being embarrassed. I would argue that James Harden is incapable of being embarrassed because he's gained weight. He's humiliated himself. He's asked for everything from these franchises. They give it to him, and then he still doesn't make it past the second round. I would argue James Harden doesn't get embarrassed. So I think Patrick Beverley is way off on this one, and he's definitely, God, he's definitely off about what he said about James Harden and the fiscal means that he deserves.
Oh, boy.
I got a question, and this is a question to you, because I know you a lot of your segments, you like to point this out when people get caught doing drugs. Do they drug test? Do they drug test on this show?
They nice. Don't, but they can
you need
be
to be drug
week.
Tested, man.
You
they
really
need to get off
I need
the
to be drug
weed,
tested,
man.
I need weed.
Yeah,
yes, I need to be
it,
drug
man.
Tested.
Stop, man. Get that brother his flowers, man. Get that brother
I
his
did.
Flowers because when he get the max, y'all, you, Matt Barnes, Kendrick Perkins, y'all all gonna be mad. Congratulations
what?
To woo 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 woo. That man deserves max, man.
Matt
that man
Barnes,
deserves
Kendrick
max. Perkins. That man, that
wait,
man
I don't
deserves
know,
max, man.
I would be just as confused as Stephen A. Smith. Like, he took forever to try to force a bad joke that he has probably seen Stephen A. do. He's like, I'm going to throw this back in your face. You got to give James Harden his flowers when he gets that big contract. And I think J.J. Redick actually corrected him a little bit later. Like, there's only one team that can do it, and Philly's kind of stuck. Like, hey, we can't trade him for anything. We're going to get less than we want in return for him. Plus, you got Daryl Morey there, too. Do I have to quit Patrick Beverley now?
I was going to say, the biggest winner of Patrick Beverley being on SportsCenter or being on ESPN all day is Patrick Beverley. The number one loser might be Paul Gallant.
Yeah.
This
never
sucks.
Meet your heroes.
But you know what?
This is awful.
Do you want to know why Stephen was pushing back? Because Game recognizes Game. Stephen A. knows exactly what Patrick Beverley is doing. Stephen A. knows that Patrick Beverley probably means about 75% of what he says, and that eventually, if Patrick Beverley stays on this cycle, he'll get to where he only means about 25% of what he says. Because there is no way. There is no way that if you injected Patrick Beverley with truth serum, that he would tell you that he actually thinks James Harden deserves that.
No, I think he would, honestly.
That's disgusting, if true.
I mean, I at least hope. I hope if you injected. I almost bought a Patrick Beverley is my spirit animal shirt. I'm out on Patrick Beverley.
Did you say he's literally
your
twin?
Were you going to make that shirt?
There's
Patrick Beverley is literally my twin.
There's one. Literally. There's
that
literally my
be
spirit
Paul
animal.
Shirt. Yeah. Literally my twin.
Yeah, but now I'm out. Damn.
Did you like what he said about Chris Paul at least?
I felt like it was very, very petty.
Yeah.
And I felt like He brought energy, but, like, anyone could have pushed back against him in that room, and no one did. Because they're all like, yeah, let's just let him keep going. But,
The biggest winner is Patrick Beverley. The biggest loser
I endorsed him yesterday.
You did.
Online.
The biggest loser may be J.J. Redick, because J.J. Redick was really on fire as the new credible analyst guy that was getting a lot of attention, and now it's like, no, what you're saying is too logical.
No, because I think in that very same segment, Redick was like, well, there's only one team that can extend Beverley.
He's the
or
one that's...
Harden.
Right. J.J. Redick was the one when we talked about athletes that have become likable. Patrick Beverley may be the opposite for you. You may go from having really liked Patrick Beverley to not liking him at all.
And I feel like for most of America, people went from not liking him to now loving him.
Right.
And Paul is the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Oh, how the opinions sway.
What the hell?
He thinks that Harden deserves beyond the Supermax.
Thanks for ruining something else, Disney. You already did it to Star Wars. Now you ruined Patrick Beverley. Thanks, Disney.
Did they kill Leia?
Well, Leia died in real life.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. R.I.P. Yeah.
But then,
Carrie Fisher.
There was a point where she should have died, and like then somehow, while unconscious, she swam through space while not breathing and not having all of her organs, like, you know, like basically destroyed and crushed by the lack of, you know, gravity and all those and oxygen out there.
Have you seen the moms on Facebook with their Disney conspiracy theories? Whoa.
Do I want to?
No.
Yeah, I haven't. I know that there's some Disney beef on the conspiracy streets. I stay out of it.
I do stay out of it. I stick with PETA, JFK, and the moon. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're talking about some very, very bad luck during a live stream workout, former superstar. Plus, how much would it take for Jerry Jones to sell them Cowboys? That's next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
446-9737.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I think if you're injury prone, it would be terrible to get injured again in general, but it would especially be bad if you're live streaming your workout on Instagram, which what happened to former Chicago Bears running back Tariq Cohen. He suffered a ruptured Achilles tendon during a training session that was being live streamed on his Instagram account. I came across this on accident. Somebody was dumb enough to tweet out the video. He's basically backpedaling, and then he just stops and grabs his Achilles.
I don't think they were dumb enough. I mean, this is how you get retweets, how you get likes these days. You take content.
Dumb enough, maybe insensitive was the,
I would agree with you on that one.
It's just disgusting.
There's nothing worse, and I'm glad that this was on Instagram too, Vanessa, where it wasn't like one of those super slow motion cameras, because I have remembered vividly seeing replays during NFL broadcasts of a guy tearing his Achilles and seeing like the vibration behind of the snap. Oh, God, it's awful. And I feel bad for him, too, because, I mean, this is just you're working out. You're trying your best to show that you're still a good player. And he was a very good player for Chicago who didn't know how to use him. I thought he was a really good, just as far as versatility as running backs go, like great receiver out of the backfield. Really fun fantasy player if you maybe had him in the late 2010s. And, yeah, that sucks.
It is a bummer. Maybe the message also is don't live. Yeah, definitely it. And don't live stream your workouts.
I guess. I don't know. I mean,
Deshaun, I think, has done that a few times. Deshaun Watson. It's kind of the thing to do now, right?
Do people, I guess, would you want to watch someone working out?
No.
But I
no
say
interest.
The same thing about I don't want to watch someone playing video games either. And the people are into this, I
so
guess.
So weird.
Would you get workout ideas from watching Jericho and workout, maybe?
I don't know. It's just that the timing on that is definitely a bummer.
Yeah.
All right. Peter King, of course, writer for NBC and a couple of other different publications. Jerry Jones told him last week, Peter King asked him, how much would it take for you to sell the Dallas Cowboys? And Jones responded with, quote, more than $10 billion. But let me make this very clear. I'll say it definitively. I will never do it. I will never sell the Cowboys ever. Do you believe Jerry Jones? We've heard never a lot in sports.
Hey, why would you get out? It's the best appreciating asset that there is. Owning an NFL team? I mean, holy crap. You don't have to do anything. You just exist. I mean, the only team that has seemingly gone down in value, at least as far as their overall rankings, is Washington football team. They're still like one of the most valuable franchises in American sports, despite playing in a dump and despite Daniel Snyder doing everything he possibly can to seemingly tank the value. If you lucked in to being the son or daughter of someone who owned an NFL franchise, assuming that your family's financials are up to speed, the Chargers are the one team where that's like not necessarily the case. You're golden. Like
sit back, relax, hire the right people, take vacations to the Bahamas.
Yeah, this is something that you give. You just keep on passing down. It's tax free. I mean, it's got to be the life. You legitimately don't have to do anything. You just have to sit, and that's it. You're good for life. And you know, whoever wants to get into this club next, I mean, what are the Broncos going to go for? Like $5 billion, $6 billion or something like that, at least? Yeah. Never sell an NFL team. I don't see when these teams are going to all of a sudden lose their ability to just go straight up in terms of value.
It may not even be in our lifetime because the NFL is so dominant. But yeah, if you own an NFL team, and think about Jerry Jones, any of the work that he doesn't want to do, he's designated to his son Steven.
He bought them for $150 million.
It's insane. It's absolutely. Has anybody read Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell? It's a great book.
No.
And one of the things that it talks about is about how part of success is when you're born and what area, not just like, oh, do you have rich parents? Like how much, you know, Jim Crane's a good example. Jim Crane started his company, has had to work really, really hard, but he got like a $10,000 or $20,000 loan from his sister. He is now a billionaire.
Yeah.
So those kinds of investments don't really happen anymore. I didn't know it was only $150 million.
Yeah.
That's insane.
You know, I'm surprised by that because that was 1989. So of course, I mean, inflation. Thanks, Biden. Just kidding. Or am I? Bob Kraft bought the Patriots for $172 million in 1994. And at the time, that was the most expensive purchase. And the Patriots were the biggest joke franchise in the NFL. They had a dump of a stadium where there was poop coming out of the sinks. Like, I used to go to this place. It was the worst stadium in the NFL. Everyone agreed on it. They had, like, nonstop sexual harassment scandals. They were 1-15 every single year. And he bought this team that had, like, literally nothing for $172 million. It just goes straight up in terms of value. And, yeah, if you're an NBA owner, too, same thing. You know? I mean, if you've been watching this Winning Time show on HBO. Like,
I need to watch it. I just finished Succession.
The Lakers probably cost very little. And they turned the Lakers into this absolute just brand. Yeah, man. Of course he's never going to sell the team. Why would you? It'll probably be like $100 billion either due to inflation or appreciation in the next 50 years.
We all have jobs that I think we know that we could never do. And there was a recent article from The Athletic talking about scouts, particularly this paragraph touched on the Indianapolis Colts. Quote, "The Colts pore through tape of every prospect as an entire NFL, entire staff debating and dissecting as a group. This year they just took just 4 days off from mid-December through draft weekend in April."
Humble brag.
4 days from mid-December to April. That's 136 days in the building out of a possible 140 days. Holed up in the same dark room, stacking their board player by player. They'd go in at 7:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. on weekdays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on weekends. So add NFL scout to the list of jobs I could never do. That's insane.
And the funny thing is, like, all that extra effort could be entirely wasted.
For what? Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's still an inexact science. Oh, you put a little more time into it? Congratulations. Honestly, I feel like this is just a waste of time management by the Colts and running things. Cause
absolutely.
Anyone who does it for that much time and then they brag about it, essentially, like, oh, congratulations, you work harder than everybody. That doesn't mean anything. I used to believe, oh, well, I'm the hardest worker over at 6'10". I should be able to rise up the food chain. It doesn't matter, though.
And it's a nice article by Zach Kiefer, who writes about the Colts for The Athletic. I understand why he did it. But it is a glaring... I had no idea that they worked that many
hours.
It's
terrible. And they get paid bleep.
Right.
Also, you'd think that the players they're scouting, like the reports they're writing up, the quality of the reports would drop off if you're working 12 hours every day for over 3 months straight.
And I don't think this is just the Colts. I think this is like NFL
standard.
From what I've told, this is standard.
Yeah, no doubt. It's not. Yeah, the Colts are just the one where you're seeing how the sausage is made, and it's
right.
Like unbelievable. That's so much effort for
working 136 days out of 140. So not only could I not be a scout, I wouldn't marry one. Actually, maybe I would because you'd never see him, and I think I'd like that, and it would work for me.
Wow.
But that's like a job that I could never have.
Let's focus on that, huh? What's going on there?
What's a job that you guys could never have?
Yeah, just change the subject.
Have
okay.
you?
I definitely could not do something that involved blood.
Yeah.
I was actually going to say crime scene photographer.
Really?
Could not do
Couldn't
that.
Do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just looking at people's brains blown.
Right.
But watching Dexter, that hasn't desensitized you to it at all?
I've never seen Dexter.
You've never seen
so
Dexter?
I am not desensitized.
Couldn't be
at all.
A doctor because I hate math, chemistry, science.
Yeah, I was going to say my test grades would say that I could not be a doctor.
Nothing in the medical field. What about you?
Yeah, the medical field, I definitely couldn't do. I'm trying to think of other things.
But to me, it's like things that like I could possibly, like, it's not impossible to be like a crime scene photographer, but I could not do it.
Right.
Accountant.
Like,
I'd want to blow my brains
yeah.
out. Yeah. I was like looking at numbers all
Are
day.
Are you good at
an
math
Excel
or no?
Spreadsheet. Somehow, yes.
You're like the one person in like reporting journalism radio that's good at that.
Let me just say this. So it's been, once I was done, I was like, I'm done. My freshman year of college, I took all the math classes that were required of me. And I'm like, I'm never taking another math class the rest of my life. But on my SAT, like, I did very well in the math section. I have no idea how I did as well as I did, but I got like a 700 on the math section. I was like, wait, what? How? Like, I was behind in math compared to other people because I had to take the same math classes again because I moved from one state to another.
So I was having this conversation with my friends last weekend of what's the lowest level of like high school or even like junior high math that if you took a test, if someone gave you like a Algebra 1 test right now, do you think you would pass it?
I forget.
No.
I was like, I don't think I could pass like freshman math.
No.
Like high school freshman math.
I forget everything. I legitimately forget everything. I think I would remember geometry.
See,
no
I was
chance.
Geometry, no chance either, because you have to remember like the rules to all these shapes and stuff.
The only reason I remember, I took the course twice because when I was in eighth grade, I had it in Massachusetts, and then I moved to Florida, and Florida's like, actually, you didn't learn geometry the right way. I'm not even kidding.
God.
They're like, yeah, listen, we're not sure if you being from Massachusetts actually got a good math education. And I remember being so pissed off, like, who are these Southerners telling me that I didn't learn from the best in the Northeast?
My whole thing with school was if I needed to know something, I would know it for as long as I needed to know it, and then I would forget about it. Foreign language falls in that category. Mm. Math.
Janitor.
Had to get, I couldn't. Yeah, I like.
If you're a janitor, I respect the hell out of you. That is a brutal, unthankful job.
5543 says school bus driver, I'd go insane. Yeah, picking up the little nuggets every day would be.
I have thought about this. There are a couple of trade jobs that I wonder, like, hey, I wouldn't have had to go to college. I wouldn't have had to pay any, like, a massive amount of money, say. Like, I wasn't very fortunate and have my parents helping me out on that front. But if I were, like, a plumber or like, HVAC or something like that, like, you can make a ton of money just by being a skilled tradesman, and you don't like get into any student debt either. And no one does it anymore.
Oh, my little brother didn't go to college, and he's making great money as a corrections officer in our hometown. Like, he's chilling. Yeah.
At a jail?
Yes.
Corrections officer. Job I could not do.
Yeah, that would not be fun.
That is a day-to-day. No. But yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on what county you're in. But yeah, what's a job that you absolutely could not do? Let us know, because after that, reading that, I knew scouts worked hard. I could not be an NFL scout. 713-780-ESPN, a job that you just simply could not do.
Oh, boy. Watson's masseuse. Jeez,
yeah.
Guys.
Oh,
come
okay.
On.
Yep. I probably couldn't do that either. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, what Jim Nantz says the secret to success is with his broadcasting partner, plus our Garbage Time segment. That's next.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Yeah, if you're a corrections officer, don't fall in love like R.I.P. homegirl Vicky did. That was sad.
Man. That is just such a bizarre world.
And their love story ended in Evansville, Indiana, by the way, thanks to a car wash owner that saw them.
We're all good love stories in Evansville, Indiana.
Sure ended. Good God.
Yes, it did. All right, this is from Awful Announcing. Nantz and Romo, Jim Nantz, of course, Tony Romo, entering their third season together. And Jim Nantz had a little tidbit for how their chemistry works and how they've been able to kind of assimilate in a booth together. He said, quote, looking at one another face to face, I've never done a broadcast like this before, but that's the way Tony Romo likes it. Sure, the field is right below us, but when we're actually talking on air, we're making eye contact.
Okay.
We're not looking down at the field. We're making eye contact.
Let's make eye contact the
rest
of the
segment. We're looking angled at each other. I think that's part of the secret sauce. Weird or not weird that Jim Nantz says part of the secret sauce of working with Tony Romo is making such intense eye contact with him. It's a little odd to me.
Your eyes, the light, the heat, your eyes, I am complete. What is this, like, Say Anything with John Cusack?
Your eyes. It's a great song, by the way.
He holds
it's actually
up the
a really good song.
In front of the house. The movie took place in Seattle.
Did it really?
It did. It was went before Seattle blew up. Well, I do believe in the idea that eye contact is important.
Somebody on Twitter said the S in CBS stands for sensual.
I mean, I was thinking that if you just took, and you don't say it's Jim Nantz talking about Tony Romo, looking at each other face to face. I've never done that. I never broadcast like this before. If you change broadcast to something else, that's the way Tony
like
likes to do it.
Tony, how do you like it?
Hello, friend.
Hello, friend.
We're not looking down at the field without making eye contact. We're angled at each other. That's part of
Jim
the secret
Nantz,
sauce.
Of course. Hey, we
Jim
love
is
Jim.
One of ours.
Hey, he's a University of Houston
he's
guy.
One
we
of
love
ours.
Jim Nantz. He's a great guy, but this was an odd quote.
There's always
if
just
it
a ton of schmaltz
them,
with everything he says.
It works for them.
Well, listen,
but
I don't think he's
also,
wrong.
No, and it's also Jim Nantz's. Listen, 90% of all communication is body language, according to psychology. I think I've heard that somewhere before, but it's also just about the way that he talks. It's like Sean said, he's not saying it flippantly. He's like, you picture him saying, hello, friends, looking at one another face to face. I've never broadcast like this before. That's the way Tony likes to do it.
And now, when I'm watching the games, I'm going to imagine them looking like staring at each other's eyes like as they're talking about Pat Mahomes.
Like when I look at you and I say, look, Patrick Beverly has caused a lot of controversy on SportsCenter. And his comments about Chris Paul, Sean, I thought were a little bit strange.
Whoa, why are you looking in my eyes?
This is very hard to do.
Hey, just very weird.
Vanessa, you know, the jean jacket you're wearing brings out your eyes.
You do the voice
I'm
with
just
it.
Talking into a microphone.
And it gets even worse.
What's getting worse?
It's getting creepier
look
because you...
Look into my eyes. You can't even look in my eyes. I'm trying to tell you about the true sports.
I'm glad you brought this story up. Well, looking into each other's eyes are good.
Look into your eyes.
And you will find I'm Brian Adams. I'm Canadian.
That's another song on the Divorced Dads
Don't
playlist.
Tell me I'm not with
Jim Nance and Tony Romo in their third or maybe it's fourth season together. Going to be a lot of eye contact, I guarantee it. All right, now we move into our...
Tony, what did you think of that
No
play?
Eye contact garbage time segment.
Tony.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Tony. What do you think of that play? How do you like it?
Ohio
How do you
State
like to run
football
this situation?
Head coach Ryan Day is receiving a nice little contract extension. And by contract extension and pay increase, I mean he's getting a $2 million pay increase. He goes from $7.6 million annually to $9.5 million annually with the base salary of $2 million a year. And that contract extension, by the way, is going to keep him there at Ohio State. I don't say the Ohio State because it's annoying. Keeps them at Ohio State through 2028.
Their fans are the worst. They're honestly the loudest fan base that there is. I will say this. They have been probably the most routinely successful program in college football over the last 20 years. They own the Big Ten. My question is, why do you give him an extension or a raise like this when literally anyone can win at Ohio State?
Right.
Is that not what we have learned? Look, you've had a great track record. Jim Tressel. Urban Meyer, but now when you have three straight coaches who are all successful, can you not just have anyone coach Ohio State? So I guess what I'm wondering is, who is the worst possible coach that you could have at Ohio State and they would still
win
the Big Ten? Herman would probably work out great there. He was there before.
He was the offensive coordinator when they won the national championship.
Why didn't they just promote him?
Bill O'Brien.
What? Well, because they had Urban Meyer.
That's true.
If Tim Kelly was head coach of Ohio State, could they still win the Big Ten?
Ooh. But when Urban left, what? It's so weird. Yeah, because you can.
Let's go further. If David Culley was head coach of Ohio State.
That was who I was thinking.
Could they still win?
I love David Culley.
And you know what? He's super nice.
You know what? I say yes. I say Ohio State still wins the Big Ten tournament.
What if Jack Easterby was the head coach of Ohio State? Leader of men, Jack Easterby.
But Jack Easterby has never called plays. David Culley has at least called plays.
I like how that's the, like, oh, well, the offensive play calling you lose from losing. Also, it would be funny him doing the schedule being like, this is how people from Notre Dame talk.
Yeah, Urban Meyer wasn't calling plays. He was probably calling co-ed. So, like, do you need to call plays at Ohio State?
Yeah.
Could any of us go there and still have a plus 500 season if we just, like, said, all right, do your thing. Like, that's all we do all day long. One of us three, head coach of Ohio State. Could you win the Big Ten? Anyone can win at Ohio State. Boom, hot take.
That's true. All right, moving on. Next, our next garbage time segment, this one coming out of Milwaukee. Don Gorski, his Big Mac streak started on May 17th, 1972. As
and
of
then
this
he
week,
died.
He celebrated 50 years of eating Big Macs every day.
Gross.
Here's what gets me about stories like this.
Ugh.
All of the studies that we're seeing about how you should eat more veggies, about how red meat is bad for you, about how smoking is bad for you. And then you have guys like Don, who have been eating a Big Mac every day
what
for
does he
50
look like?
Years.
He looks how you'd think he
yeah,
looks.
Okay. Yeah, he is like bangs with a mullet.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah. No, what's the bod?
But he's not as overweight as I would think.
Yeah, he's not.
He's not obese.
He's not that fat.
I mean, he looks like a guy named Don from the Midwest.
Exactly. Like, he looked, yeah, like guys that were my music teachers.
Yeah, I will say.
In Indiana. That's what it looks like.
With rising grocery prices, that this maybe is a reality for some people down the road, which is sad. Big Macs.
Maybe he lives in a food desert.
Paul, with the fiscal outlook.
I mean, it might be someday. Big Macs, though. McDonald's burgers are just gross. Like, they're just droopy.
It's not the drunk food move.
Yeah, I mean, and look,
Taco Bell's the drunk food move.
I'm wearing a Whataburger T-shirt right now. Like, I just don't like fast food hamburgers. When you've had like a real good hamburger, or you can make your own hamburger for just as much as you could make one at McDonald's, like, I can go buy some ground beef chuck and I can put some vegetables in it, and I can make a hamburger on my own that's going to taste better than what they have. And why would I go and get the fake thing, you know?
Meanwhile, Amber Heard with a crappy accusation. Oh, we don't have time for the audio.
No.
But the trial continues.
She literally blames it on the dog.
She blames pooping in the bed on the dog?
She said the dog pooped in the
bed. He had a lot of corn, popcorn.
Mm. Do we believe her?
No. That dog is tiny.
Yeah.
That is a human-sized turd.
I think probably they were both at fault.
Dogs don't poop on beds either.
That's a good point.
Cats will occasionally poop on beds, depending on the kind of cat that you have.
My favorite
dog that does that, like, knows it's going to be in trouble afterwards. A dog would never do that.
It's a good point. My favorite part of the Amber Heard Johnny Depp trial has been all of the shots where they can tell Amber Heard is looking at the camera. She noticed the camera is there, so she'll like take a napkin or fake tears. They are professional actors after all.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That has been another episode of Vanessa and Gallant. Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes signing off. But next, stick around because you got the Killer Bees. You have Joel Blank, Jeremy Branham from 12 to 3 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Have a good day, guys.
Peace.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.